And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The injury bug has hit the NHL. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 4 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. I'm not kidding, man. You look across the league right now. Everybody's hurt, man. How are you?
I'm having to do way too much work in some of my leagues here, Nick, but that's why I got PDJ coming on for the waiver wire segment, helping us maybe find something to help out, get through some of these injuries, maybe opportunities from other players to step up, Nick. And Tuesday, we've got the Frozen Frenzy, all 32 teams in action. I can't wait for that.
Do not bury the lead. JT Miller's return to Vancouver. That is
revenge.
Front and center for yours truly. On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Coming up a bit later on, we'll give our picks for Frozen Frenzy. Maybe we put together a 16-team parlay for all 32 teams in action there.
You know that can't lose. There's no way that a 16-leg parlay could ever lose. It's the one time of the year you could do something like that, right? Maybe a 16-leg prop parlay, something like that. Just have a little fun. Don't put too much on it, but just an awesome day to be a hockey fan. Starting at 6 o'clock Eastern, you're going to have to maybe make a pot of coffee to stay up for some of those late games, Nick, but I'm looking forward to Tuesday. I love that we do this once a year now, the Frozen Frenzy.
Yes, sir. Let's start with the Nashville Predators and the injury news to their captain, Roman Josi. Week to week, upper body injury. Had played 8 games, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points. It looks like Brady Shea is going to grab the internal spot there, which is massive. And of course, we've got the waiver wire list coming up, so plenty of names. But that's a massive loss for Nashville. I thought they'd have a better start this season, Jake.
I thought so as well, and I don't think I was really in on Nashville bouncing back, but I thought there was potential for them to at least be competitive, and at times they have been, but you take a player like this out of the lineup, and we know what he does at both ends of the ice, that's just irreplaceable, and meaning we're seeing defense injuries in a lot of different spots around the league. Like, look at what's going on in Carolina as well. It feels like that depth chart is really getting tested, and you know, we're looking at the waiver wire. We always talk, hey, if you can get some power play time, I don't care what team you play on, you have a little bit of value in fantasy hockey. So what's going on in Nashville? What's going on in Carolina? Anything we can attack there?
Yeah, I mean, Nick mentioned Shea. I think in a league with hits and blocks, you could roster him if you're really hurting at the position. As for Carolina, Nikishin we brought up as well last week. You know, Miller's going to miss a little bit of time there as well. So, you know, those would be two guys I would take a look at. And I'll just throw Dmitry Orlov's name again. His ownership is 41%. He's got 8 points rather in 9 games, 4 of them on the power play. Guys, he's in for a career season, and it doesn't take much. 35 points in 2021 with the Caps was his best production in terms of a season. But man, he averaged 20 minutes per game last year. Nick, he's averaging 23. And how about Macklin Celebrini? Like, this guy's got 15 points already. He's like 1 point from the league lead. Like, get a piece of the Sharks where you can.
Guys, last week, Jake, you said it was Sabres week. This week is Sharks week. And there are many reasons why. We'll get to them later.
Isn't there a channel with actual Shark Week?
There is.
But yeah,
there is.
I
we should have checked with them first.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, copyright infringement. But the Sharks, the great thing about them from a fantasy perspective, they score tons of goals. They're not great defensively, but I like the Orlov shout because, again, that team has some great young talent on it. There's a guy who could produce. There's a guy who's been around before, so certainly him. You talk about Carolina, like Sean Walker is not even on PP1. He's on PP2. It's slim pickings with that team. But, you know, just that you look around the league at some of the other core key injuries. Willie Nylander's banged up. Then we see Quinn Hughes leave the Canucks lineup. Philip Hronek is a guy I would identify certainly with Hughes out of the lineup. But a lot of these tend to be day-to-day, which I think is crucial as well, Jake.
Yeah, obviously, if it's something more week to week, or you know, even multiple months, like the Rickard Rakell injury, that's a tough one for me, Meany, because we know Pittsburgh's been a really good story here early in the season. I actually thought there was potential for them to have a little bit of a surprise start. Now they're probably exceeding even my expectations for them, but there's some juice in the Penguins offensively, and I've been a happy Rickard Rakell owner, even Evgeny Malkin in a league where I got these guys really late. Nobody wanted anything to do with Penguins, and now we're seeing Rickard Rakell. I think the timeline is 6 to 8 weeks with hand surgery. So obviously you're throwing him on the injured reserve if you have a spot, and you know, you're hoping to maybe find somebody else in that lineup. But unfortunate injury out of Pittsburgh with Rakell and how nice that team had started.
Yeah, Raquel's a sneaky good fantasy option, especially in leagues with hits and shots. You look and he's like inside the top 100. Last year, he was a top 100 player in those settings for what he does. And Pittsburgh, top their top six is pretty heavy. You look at Malkin, it's kind of surprising, right? He leads the team in points, assists, and power play points. He actually leads the NHL with 12 assists. He's had a heck of a start. And Ville Koivunen is a guy that I would take a look at in deeper leagues. I liked him heading into this season. Now he has a promotion back up with the big club, Nick, because of the injury to Rickard Rakell. And last year, we saw him play in a top six role. So I think he's going to play with Russ and Crosby. They're going to keep Brazo with Malkin and Anthony Mantha on that second line. Seems to be working. The Pens have won 4 or 5. I think they're home dogs today against the Blues. I like them.
Look, I'll admit it. I was wrong on this Pittsburgh team. However, it is very, very early. It's October still, yeah. November next week. But they've been a pleasant surprise where they were a team I just didn't want to attack at all in fantasy hockey. But as we've mentioned, there's so many different files having great starts to the season. So in Toronto, Nylander day-to-day, lower body injury, as mentioned, Robertson and McMahon playing with Matthews. I would look at that. But, Jake, I do have some intrigue in St. Louis. And, again, we always compare them to Carolina, where there's a multitude of different options because they really spread the depth up and down their lineup. But Robert Thomas goes down over the weekend, upper body injury. And I think it's only fitting Vancouver's looking for centers left and right. They had one. They let him go. And Puce Suter is a guy I'm looking at right now in St. Louis.
Puce Suter, and I will shout out a guy we've talked about a lot on the show so far, Meany, leading up in our preview shows a little bit in the first couple here early in the season, Jimmy Stuggerud. If people gave up on him a little bit, there was a game where he played, like, I think it was 9 minutes or something, maybe got buried on the fourth line. St. Louis was trying to rejig their lines. I did see some people kind of bail on the file a little bit. He picks up a couple assists in their last game, 4 shots on goal, minutes were back. So I don't know if that was just more of a message sending to a young player. We see that all the time. Okay, you know, you got to earn your minutes, all those sorts of things. So I'd take a look at Stuggerud, even at Jake Neighbors if he's still hanging around in some leagues. There's a lot of options in St. Louis. It just comes with the tag, knowing at any time your guy could probably get bumped off of that top line assignment.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, the Blues can't keep the puck out of their net so far this year, so they're playing into a lot of high-total games, high-event hockey. And what I noticed when Robert Thomas left that game in the third period, Montgomery put Puce Suter between Stuggerud and Jake Neighbors. So that's a huge role for him if he can take that role, and Robert Thomas does miss a little bit of time. Suter, I think his ownership is around 2%, and I'm sure Pete's going to talk about Neighbors and Stuggerud. Those guys are sub-30%. So those would be three guys to take a look at. I still like Dylan Holloway since we're all in the Blues. I saw him dropped in a couple of my leagues. I snatched him up pretty quickly. I know the production hasn't been there for him, but he is among the leaders at forward in terms of the Blues, Nick, in terms of ice time and shot attempts. So there's still a high usage rate for him, and I think he'll turn it around.
And again, patience is a virtue. It's relatively early still. Jake Neighbors is another guy who had a 2-goal outing over the weekend. So there's a lot of different options, I would say, right now with St. Louis. Meantime, Dylan Strome going down for Washington, lower body injury. Connor McMichael's a guy who could assume a lot of those responsibilities. Roope Hintz, I feel like we have this conversation every year, banged up. Tyler Seguin, I would look at him right now, I think, centering that top line. Jared McCann, been a tough, tough start to his season. Lower body injury, placed on LTIR, or IR, I should say. Chandler Stephenson, like, I think if you want to go to that depth, I think there's better options up the middle. I think it's the fortunate point we talk about every year, Jake, when it comes to fantasy hockey. Up the middle, there will be some options available to you.
Well, it always does seem like there's a lot of centers available later, and you kind of want to stock, if you can, you want to stock up on some wingers, because I feel like it's a little bit tougher to find a little bit later on. Dallas is an intriguing team to look at. You know, you mentioned some of the injuries that are going on there. We know those top guys are kind of owned up, but I don't mind going after some of those veteran players like a Tyler Seguin, and you know, there's some intriguing names there still in Dallas, and it feels like they're starting to find it. They were one of these contending teams. That's been a theme in this early part of the season, Nick, is contending teams or teams we deemed contenders. Tampa Bay, Toronto, Florida to an extent, Dallas as well. A lot of these teams getting off to slow, mediocre starts, maybe starting to find their form a little bit, and Dallas is a good example of that.
That's a good point. A lot of teams look bored and disinterested, and we'll see if they ramp things up in the month of November. I was really tuned into that game, Vancouver and the Edmonton Oilers on Sunday night, and who do I look and I see? The new 2C for the Vancouver Canucks, Lucas Reichel. Means you have any interest in this file, comes over from Chicago, former first-round pick, has 2 goals, 2 assists so far in this early season, but the deployment right now is there for me where I'm at least considering it. He's on my watch list playing with Evander Kane and Brock Besser and seeing some minutes as well in PP2.
Yeah, getting an opportunity right away, because in Chicago, who's playing 8 or 9 minutes? So it's a very small sample, but 16 minutes per game in the first two games of the Canucks. You mentioned the role that he's had. So yeah, they're hurting completely down the middle of the ice. And to get an opportunity to play with Brock Besser and Evander Kane, who had some issues on Saturday against the Canadiens, again, couldn't stay out of the box. But it's an opportunity. So I'm not rushing to pick him up, but we could take a look at him in the betting market, because you know that he's going to be plus money for points. And hey, again, Vancouver's desperate, Jake. So I mean, you look at a kid like that who is a former first-round pick, right? It's a buy-low candidate, and he's going to get an opportunity in Vancouver. So maybe you put a little star next to his name, and you see how this plays out over the next couple weeks.
I wasn't buying Vancouver coming into this year, guys, but it does feel like at least the last couple games, Nick, we're getting a little something out of EP40. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too excited because this guy, he could just go away for stretches and stretches, games at a time. So it may be something to just keep a sneaky eye on in the prop market if he is starting to get it going a little bit. What about the other side of that trade, though, the Chicago side? Are you buying into kind of what's going on there? Again, nothing too crazy, but kind of hovering around NHL 500. A couple good fantasy files, you know, and Ilya Mikheyev's getting some good minutes there. Obviously, Nazar's been doing his thing as a guy that's taken a huge step. It feels like Chicago isn't a complete wasteland maybe like they used to be.
Well, that's the thing, right? I think the last couple years specifically, we all wanted to stay away from that team. Even Sam Renzel's had a so-so start to this season, but I think I want to go near there. I still wonder long-term means if they can keep this up, but Spencer Knight has been the big story for me in between the pipes, where you talk about that Seth Jones trade last year. You know, how important he was to Florida going back-to-back there. But you look at the other side, as Jake mentioned it, a trade that can work out for both sides. And for me, it starts in the crease, where I'm not afraid to go to Chicago's crease anymore.
No, you shouldn't. Spencer Knight is a good goalie, and I think we all loved that trade, that buy low last year. I mean, Seth Jones is a guy that they could easily have moved on from. They're rebuilding. You get some young blood in Spencer Knight, who was good in a small sample size last year. Of course, going to face a lot of rubber, but if you're in leagues, points leagues with saves, you could take some of those games where he allows 3 or 4 goals. But so far, we just haven't seen it. I'll shout out Ryan Donato. This is a guy that I think we had as a breakout candidate or an undervalued candidate in our fantasy hockey draft kit, and he's got 5 goals in the season. He's got points in 5 of his past 6, and I drafted him in a couple spots, and he was in the bottom 6, and I didn't love it, but now he's back up in a top 6 role, and he had a good season last year and 30 goals. So, and Bedard's playing really good as well. So yeah, I agree with you guys. The Blackhawks, although they'll still probably be one of the worst teams in the league, they're not a pushover, Nick. They're competitive every night, and that's good to see.
No longer a black hole, which is excellent news. You're right. Speaking of returns, Jacob Markstrom back after missing 6 games. I would still hold on to Jake Allen. He's had a really, really good start this season, especially with Markstrom and his injury history. I think they're going to utilize both guys moving forward. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen back for the Buffalo Sabres, makes 18 saves in a 4-3 OT loss against the Leafs. Pierre-Luc Dubois back after missing 5 games now with the Capitals, who were rinsed over the weekend. And Jay, can I interest you in Nick Hague? Finally makes his debut here with the Nashville Predators. Off the top, we talked about Roman Josi being dinged up. And this is a candidate. I know we talked about Brady Shea, but I wouldn't sleep on the name Nick Hague here with Nashville.
I think a speculative pickup, maybe. I prefer Shea, but if you want to take a look at Hague and kind of see where it goes, I don't hate that. See what happens for a week, 2 weeks, and then maybe make a decision after that. You mentioned some of these goaltenders coming back. Meany, I don't know if I want anything to do with Sabres goaltending. not because it's Buffalo. I actually do think they're playing a little bit better right now, but just because it's kind of messy. I don't know where they're going to go with it. There's a lot of different names there. So I think that's a situation I'm trying to avoid. And I would agree with Nick. I think you keep Jake Allen, you know, especially with Markstrom and his history. And Meany, these Devils, I mean, they're rolling right now. That game against Colorado, and they're going to get another crack at Colorado here coming up, another chance at them with the home-and-home situation. These Devils are cooking at the moment.
Yeah, they are. I saw Nemec has like 8 points, 7 or 8 points in the season. He's one of the most picked up defensemen. I mean, somebody maybe to consider. I think he played 23 minutes over the weekend in the last game that the Devils played. And I totally agree, Nick. You know, Jake Allen is a good backup, one of the better backups in the league. We've seen this before multiple times where Markstrom's gone down and Allen has stepped in. So if you are a Markstrom owner and you picked up Allen, just hold him. Have these two. I'll say the same thing about Aiden Hill. When he gets back, maybe you just hold on to Schmid, right? And you just have that net locked up. Looks like the Devils are going to win 40, 45 games, maybe flirt with 50. And then the same thing can be said about Vegas Golden Knights. It's tough out there. We've said this in every episode with goaltending, right? When you have something that is working at the moment, you hold on to it. And if you can have a tandem on a really good team, I think that's beneficial to the rest of your league mates.
Just two more things to get to before we get to the waiver wire list. Excuse me, here with Pete Jensen. Zach Hyman's a guy, November 1st, so a week from now. Monitor that file. If you can trade, buy low on him, potentially he's going to be in that top six here with the Oilers, set to make his season debut. And Joseph Woljake back in the mix for the Maple Leafs. I still don't anticipate he'll play anytime soon, but definitely on your watch list, considering Anthony Stolarz has played a ton to start this season. I think they're better suited for a tandem there in Toronto.
Well, and Stolarz hasn't exactly been great out of the gate. I know he called out his team, and you know he's got to wear a little bit of it as well, and I'm sure he certainly would take on that accountability, but he hasn't been as good as he was last year. It's pretty clear. He'll find his form. I'm not worried about Stolarz if I'm an owner there, but I did stash Joe Woll in a couple of leagues, not knowing what the situation was. I mean, the Leafs don't tell you anything with injury news or whatever this was going on with Joe Woll, so we didn't get any sort of information, but I thought he was worthy of a stack for that exact reason you mentioned, Nick, the fact that when he comes back, I do see it being, you know, close to a 50-50 split, maybe 60-40 in favor of Stolarz. And to me, there's still a ton of value in Joe Woll. So if he's hanging on a wire, I would absolutely pick him up.
All right, boys, buckle up. Week 4 already of the fantasy season. Time's flying. October 27th to November 2nd. Monday, 2 games, 16 on Tuesday, 1 Wednesday, 11 Thursday, 3 on Friday, 13 Saturday, 5 on Sunday. A total of 51 games. The 4-game teams you want to look at: Boston, Calgary, Columbus, Detroit, Jersey, the Islanders, Ottawa, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Jose, St. Louis, and a ton of 2-game teams as well that you want to stay away from picking up waiver wire guys. Florida, Montreal, Seattle, Utah, and Vegas. Anything stand out for you in that type of list here, Jake?
I love Columbus this week. It is a Jackets week. A couple of games on the off nights that I really like because it's a weird schedule this week, right? We've got the Frozen Frenzy, which we're all excited about on Tuesday, but that means a light Monday, a light Wednesday, obviously heavy Thursday. Like it's very chopped up this week. It's not an even schedule at all. So I know we mentioned earlier it might be a Sharks week after it was a Sabres week the week before, but I'm saying it also might be a Jackets week, Nick. They're a team, and they're a team that has some options offensively up front.
I was going to say, Petey, you got the perfect name for us, right? Dmitry Voronkov, your boy in Columbus.
I've liked this guy for a couple of years. It's one of those guys we just continuously talk about here and there. He hasn't found the full consistency just yet in his NHL career, but maybe this is the start of it, baby. 4-game point streak, leads the entire Blue Jackets offense, which is a pretty sneaky one. We've been all over it last season and in the preseason, just saying how they were so good at 5-on-5 last year. 9 points in 8 games and tied for 15th in the entire NHL in even strength points. So he's locked and loaded. He's playing on the top line with Marchenko. They got that chemistry going back a couple of years now.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets can score. They're still pretty fun, and they give up a lot of rubber, so they play in a lot of high-total games. Petey, how about the Flyers? I know we talked about Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia last week. Dan Vladar is still doing his thing. His ownership is around 30%. I don't think he's had a game where he's allowed more than 2 goals, but Couturier leads the team in points. Actually, I think he's tied with Zegras. You have Forrester, you have Tippett. There's a lot of options all of a sudden in Philadelphia. They're playing some pretty competitive hockey.
Yeah, I mean, let's give a little round of applause here, right? Last week, we had the guts to put a Sabres goalie and a Flyers goalie on the waiver wire list, and they both kept it going, Lyon and Vladar. So you got to give those two teams maybe a sign of some changing of the guard and maybe some improved play in the crease for sure. But you're looking at, for Philly, a lot of value. Meany, I know you were talking up Owen Tippett last week in his goal scoring. It goes deeper than that. Trevor Zegras is off to a great start with 8 points in 8 games. And also Tyson Forrester, who finished last season strong, he is in the top 9 and producing regardless of where he's in the lineup and who his line mates are. So you like to see, under Rick Tocchet, a little bit of a resurgence offensively, and the shackles taken off a little bit of this Flyers offense.
And it's a good point. This team had offensive potential. I've said a few times, I think Torts tried to reel this team in too much, and Tocchet's letting them play a little bit more, and they're young and they're fun, and if they can find this confidence and build off it, they could become a pretty interesting story. I like the Forrester shout there as well, Pete, but you're wearing your shark shirt right now as we record the show, and you got a guy on the list this week, one of my faves in the league. I mention him all the time. So underrated. Whenever we talk Sharks, nobody ever mentions this guy, but Will Eklund's on your list this week, and I absolutely love to see it.
Yeah, you mentioned Orlov earlier. Celebrini's one of the best players in the entire NHL right now, so try to get a piece of him however you can. We were all over Will Smith as a sleeper, and he's been outstanding as well. How about the other night getting their first win? 5 points for Celebrini, 4 points for Will Smith. That is going to be a feared duo for many, many years to come in the NHL. I think the Rangers got a glimpse of that. But yeah, William Eklund, I would like to see Eklund play a little bit more with Michael Misa. Misa's only about 12% rostered right now. He's got points in 3 straight games and scored his first goal on Sunday against the Wild. The only problem with him, guys, he's a high pedigree guy, but they have him on that workload. They have him on the load management like the Ducks had with Leo Carlson last year. So if you have him, you might have to bench him some nights because he might not be in the lineup every 2 or 3 days, unfortunately.
The Sharks are so fun, like, in general. Even, like, Ryan Reeves has as many goals as Mitch Marner. It's October 27th. Like, it's such a surreal story, and I have a lot of fun watching that team. Again, I know I was the idiot who called, Askarov to maybe be in the Calder conversation, but I meant the name Jakub Dobesh, okay? I screwed the two names up, but what a start for Dobesh in Montreal, Pete, where I think he needs to be owned more in fantasy hockey right now because I think he's taken the number one job from Samuel Montembeau.
Yeah, they added him to the board, right? We saw with the Calder Trophy long shot. I'm sure you guys will get to that specific number in a little bit. But yeah, this guy's been money. Almost every advanced stat you could find right now on Jakub Dobesh. Obviously, the surface level stuff, tied for second in the league in wins. He's 5-0, 940 save percentage, leads the NHL, minimum 5 games. But then you go deeper among the league leaders in high danger save percentage, long range save percentage. He's perfect. And 5-on-5 save percentage, 956. I mean, he is putting some serious pressure on Sam Montembeau right now. And maybe that becomes more of a timeshare than we thought. Last year, it was really heavy workload for Montembeau. So Montembeau roster percentage guys, you know, must be sweating a little bit, but hopefully you handcuff Dobesh in the process.
Yeah, first rookie in NHL history to start back-to-back seasons 5-0. I think it's his net. I mean, obviously he could struggle, but the Habs aren't messing around, and I think it's very clear. St. Louis says, listen, we're a team that's up and coming. The rebuild is over. If you're playing good, you're playing every night. So I thought it was very telling that he got that first game of the back-to-back, the road trip. I think he's going to start Tuesday against Seattle, and I think if you're a Montembeau owner and you can't hold on to him, I think you could move on from him and just ride this thing out with Dobesh because the Canadians are going to win a lot of games this year. Pete, I got one more guy here for you that, speaking of the Habs, Heinemann. He was kind of just tossed in that Dobson deal. This is a guy that showed last year with the Canadians, just like second power play opportunity, never had a top six role. Boom, right away, Islanders, go ahead. You can play on the first line with Bo Horvat. He shoots the puck. He throws his body around. I think he's got 3 or 4 games of 6-plus hits. What do you see from Heinemann, and do you think he can contain this?
I think he can keep it going as long as he's on the top line with Bo Horvat. I mean, I think that Horvat's a stud, by the way. We forget how good he is because he was banged up a little bit last year, but the shots, the face-offs, the points, the goals. I mean, he's quietly among the league leaders in a couple categories. And Heinemann, yeah, leading the Islanders in hits, 35-8 games. That's tied for 8th in the entire NHL, and he's got 5 goals. Anders Lee also playing in that top 9 for Patrick Waugh and the Islanders and playing really well. Lee leads the Islanders in assists and even strength points. I mean, these guys are 15% rostered for Anders Lee, a wily veteran, and Heinemann, like you mentioned, a steal in that trade. The Islanders planned for the future by the Dobson trade, but also Heinemann's helping them out a lot in the present.
Yeah, they're excited on the island right now. So are we here in NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're going to take the break. Other side, we've been teasing all podcast long, some options on the blue line with all the injuries. That's coming up to wrap up our waiver wire edition. And also On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
McKinnon or McDavid, Crosby or Marchand, got what it takes to be an NHL GM? Play NHL Fantasy Stars, the new mobile fantasy hockey game. Download the app and put your hockey knowledge to the test. Open daily packs, set your lineup, and buy your favorite players. Forget to set your lineup? Don't worry. Each day will bring a new chance to gain bragging rights with your friends. When they score, you score.
Connor Bedard scores!
Play fantasy hockey on your own time or play every day for free. NHL Fantasy Stars. Download the app today.
Shoot, score, win, repeat, on the ice and online. Keep the energy going with NHL Game Zone, the ultimate hockey hub for free-to-play games, prizes, and non-stop competition. Take your best shot with games like NHL Lines, Bingo, Bracket Challenge, and more. Challenge yourself and battle your friends and hockey fans worldwide. Play games for chances to win awesome NHL prizes. NHL Game Zone, your one-stop for hockey free-to-play gaming. Play today at nhl.com/gamezone. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone. Julie Stewart-Binks here, along with former NHLer Nate Thompson. Join us on Energy Line as we share our takes, stories, and surprise guests every week.
Patrick Kane, 3-time Stanley Cup champion.
Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan.
6-time Stanley Cup champion Mark Messier.
With over 800 NHL games, I know a couple guys.
Biz didn't have Twitter. No one knew who he was, so I called Witt, and I'm like, how is Biz? He was like, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hate him. Then he'll be your best friend.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany with you. And Pete, I was talking about some options on the back end. Luckily, you got a couple that people can keep in mind on here.
Yeah, I did want to mention Cam Fowler because he's had a really slow start to the season. I know you guys touched on him last show. Maybe he's a drop candidate. I wouldn't drop him just yet because he's among the top 10 in offensive zone time percentage. The Blues as a team are third in that category in the entire NHL. Definitely suggests some bounce back appeal. And Fowler is still on power play one with a lot of really good options for the Blues. Chris Letang, 4 points in his past 4 games with 3 on the power play. Even though he's on PP2, like, he's healthy. He's kind of, you know, heart and soul of the team, you would say. And I think that the Penguins offense in general, very surprising, right, guys, to see them leading the entire NHL in power play percentage. So maybe Chris Letang with a little category coverage. He's still got the speed. And then Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he's playing with the Maple Leafs, and he's playing on the pair with Morgan Rielly, but Rielly was banged up a couple games ago. He came back. Keep an eye on the Morgan Rielly situation. If Rielly misses any more time down the road, OEL could certainly pounce on that and play with the big boys on PP1.
You said last week was Sabres week, but don't think we didn't see you slip a little Buffalo Sabre onto the list this week as well. And hey, Sabres week went pretty well last week. I actually thought they probably could have won both of those games against the Leafs over the weekend. They were pretty competitive, but you did find a way to sneak a Sabre onto the list.
I did. There's a couple of guys you could still consider. We mentioned Lyon. Bowen Byram has a little point streak brewing. And then Jack Quinn, a couple of monster games last week. He's got 2 power play goals this season, 6 points. In 9 games, his usage is a little all over the place, but he produces regardless of where he's playing, and he scored 3 goals this season. He's got the long range shots. He's got that kind of ability where he's, you know, going to score from all over the ice. So I really like Jack Quinn. I like the Sabres depth. I never saw this coming this year after they traded Peterka.
Nobody good start did. For them after a terrible first few games. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Boys, I'll lead things off. Way back when, Matt Sundin, number 500 against the Calgary Flames. And why do I bring that up? John Tavares at 499. They're playing Calgary, Frozen Frenzy on Tuesday, and playing the ATG, Jake.
Is he going to do it in OT as well, like Matt Sundin did? I remember that goal well. Just that walks in over the blue line, slap shot. That was a sick goal for number 500. So maybe JT could do the same thing. I like that. Some vibes there with the same team. Before we get to Frozen Frenzy, Meany, I got a couple things I'm looking at Monday. It's only 2 games, so we can kind of focus in on them a little bit before the frenzy that we have on Tuesday. But Pittsburgh home dog against St. Louis. I'm going to continue to back this team. I like what I'm seeing there. And even Boston, I have a little bit of interest in. They impressed me over the weekend beating the Colorado Avalanche. As long as it's Jeremy Swayman, looks like it's going to be Mira Leinen for the Sens between the pipes. I got a little interest in Boston as a really big dog there as well.
Yeah, I haven't been super impressed with the Sens. I know they waxed the Capitals, but that was the second half of the back-to-back, and Logan Thompson, who's been fantastic, get him on your shortlist for Vezina. He didn't play in that game. It was Charlie Lindgren. So I got a couple plays here for tonight as well. I mean, Malkin is plus money for an assist, plus 125. I mentioned earlier, leads the NHL in assists. Snuggerud is plus 132 for a point. Right, let's keep an eye on Robert Thomas and what that top line looks like. Brian Rust for 3 shots. Geeky's been hot, man. Like, he didn't get any respect last year playing with Lindholm. home. And David Pastrnak, he's minus 130 for a point. I think he's got goals in three straights. And plus 140, Nick, for me, Pinto, three shots. This guy's having a career season. He's got back-to-back games with four shots. He's had three plus and five of six. So to get a guy who has the usage rate bump, shooting, scoring, plus 140 for three shots against the Bruins, sign me up.
Yeah, and somebody who can make a lot of money in the short-term future could chain Pintor, but that's a big story. They needed somebody to elevate in Ottawa, and for him, it's been a phenomenal start. I'm already looking forward to Tuesday. I apologize, guys, but the 16 games have me fired up. The return slates as well intrigue me. Vegas at Carolina after last week. Vegas went on home ice. I'm going to play Carolina in that game. Carolina for that one. And Jersey, Colorado. I think the Avalanche return serve on home ice. Utah, Edmonton. We really haven't talked about Utah today. Tremendous story. Contract year, Nick Schmaltz. Dylan Gunther, I think, has 13 game-winning goals since the start of last year. That guy is insane as well, Jake.
Glad you brought up Utah. This is the team that we wanted to see. We talked about them a lot on the preview shows and the potential, right? But we, you know, when you're talking potential, it doesn't always work out. We are seeing that potential come to fruition, and I love what I'm seeing in Utah. And that Central Division's competitive, but they are making a statement here early in the season, so I like that. I want to see Minnesota and St. Louis get going. Been very disappointed by those teams. Maybe Tampa's getting going a little bit here, Nick. I'm going to look to them against Nashville during the Frozen Frenzy. They've been very slow to start the season, but you know, we saw Kucherov get going a little bit, maybe a little more energy in his game. He had battled that little illness last week. So Tampa's a team I'm going to be looking to back in Nashville on Tuesday.
I just wanted to add, I'm going to slice and dice a little point prop in that Utah-Edmonton game. I like the over. Nick Schmaltz, as Pete alludes to in our chat, tied with Jack Eichel for a lead in points right now with 16. I'm playing him till he doesn't score anymore. Gunther's been on fire. If you want to throw some McDavid, some Drysdale in there as well. So I like the over in Edmonton, Utah.
Yeah, how can you not like this team? Vemelka leads the league and wins right now with six. He's playing spectacular. Cooley is unbelievable. The line of Cooley, Gunther, and JJ not getting enough attention because Schmaltz and Keller are just lighting it up. So, yeah, I like offense in that game. I think you can have some fun with the same game parlay. Like Emmett Finney keeps scoring for Detroit up on that top line, playing against the Blues. It's going to be the second half of a back-to-back. If Bennington goes tonight, Hofer hasn't been good. And then how about Montreal in Seattle against the Kraken? Ivan Demidov gets put on that power play. And then he gets two primary assists. He has a clapper. All of a sudden, this guy, we talked about Schaefer, and of course we should, but all of a sudden Demidov has 9 points in 10 games. And he's like, no, this Calder race isn't done. It's going to be actually a race, and it's going to be a fun one all year.
Oh, he's so good. He's a lot of fun to watch, and so are the Montreal Canadiens right now. And just to wrap up my side of things, I know we got PD props coming on with a couple here, but New York, Vancouver, this is a palate cleanser to say the least. JT Miller's return. I can't wait to see how the crowd reacts. They're chanting, "Let's go, Petey," and not for Pete Jensen on Sunday night. It was for Elias Pettersson, the forward, because there's 17 different Petterssons on that team. But I'm going to play both guys in this game, the point prop, the shot prop. I'm very interested in this one, Jake.
I think I prefer the Vancouver side. Like, we always look at this and go, okay, Miller's obviously going to be motivated and wants to stick it to his former team, the revenge angle. But I think the Canucks might even be more motivated in this aspect, right? A guy that maybe wasn't exactly liked by everybody, certainly not Elias Pettersson, at least from what we've heard come out from that story. So I think you're going to get a really motivated Canucks team, and the Rangers might just stink. I mean, watching them the last few games, like they just might not be good at all. So I'm going to have to go Vancouver, as much as I don't love the Canucks. I think I'll back Vancouver on home ice no matter what the price is. Petey, you got some props for us? You got to be cooking something up with the Frozen Frenzy coming up on Tuesday.
I mean, there's so much on this slate. It's going to be so much fun. I'm looking at Cutter Gauthier. He's tied with Nathan MacKinnon of the Avalanche for the NHL lead in mid-range shots on goal, and he's also among the NHL leaders, top 10 in even strength goals. So this guy is just blossoming before our eyes. I know we were talking so highly about him as a 40 goal candidate in the years to come. Might very well happen this season with those types of stats. And then, yeah, just looking at some of these other games, Alex Iafallo, top 10 in the league in high danger shots on goal. Look at him against the Minnesota Wild. The Wild have some major issues defensively, even though the offense is been good. I don't know what's going on with that team. So jump on Winnipeg in that matchup.
Look, I know everybody's been enjoying the NHL Fantasy rebrand this year. A quote box for this week, Jay Conn, the Rangers might just stink. I think that was tremendous.
It writes itself. Yeah, it writes itself.
You got worked over on home ice by the Flames? We wrote the Flames off in the previous episode. They go into New York and dummy them? Like, the Rangers have
long
to
season.
The Sharks? Massive issues.
Long season. Long issues. Season, guys. I like the Rangers to win that revenge game, by the way, on Tuesday. I'm playing the Rangers maybe as a slight dog in that game against the Vancouver Canucks. And JT Miller, I think, will rise to the occasion. But that's it for this episode. Coming up on Thursday, Week 4 Mailbag Edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice. We'll talk later this week.